Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This article is entitled, Arrival of Data Centers Could Transform Permian Basin, by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Permian Basin oil and gas operators were once again faced with a down cycle in 2025 as oil prices fell to four-year lows. Crude prices fell to four-year lows and are ending the year hovering just below $60 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate. In response, oil companies scaled back budgets, activity, and in some cases, workforce. Chevron announced plans to cut 15-20% of its workforce, which includes 200 Permian Basin jobs. ConocoPhillips also announced plans to cut 20-25% of its workforce. The number of Permian Basin jobs involved has yet to be announced. There was, however, an emerging trend that could provide new revenue streams for Permian Basin energy companies. The arrival of artificial intelligence data centers, which are expected to use Permian Basin natural gas to power their operations. Several such centers have been announced for the Midland-Odessa area, and several oil companies have announced partnerships to provide natural gas to help power the centers. Supporters say the Permian Basin, with its vast natural gas resources, available land and infrastructure, is an ideal location to become a data center hub. Just as Permian Basin energy companies have learned to produce more crude oil and natural gas, they're learning ways to extract resources that could make the region an even more important source of mineral resources. Two pilot projects have successfully extracted lithium from Permian Basin-produced water, sending the extracted lithium off to be refined into lithium carbonate to be used in batteries. Driverless trucks also began showing up on Permian Basin roads, hauling frac sand to well sites. Atlas Energy Solutions began using robo-trucks from Kodiak Robotics to deliver sand from its Dune Express conveyor belt to well sites. Detmar Logistics has also announced an agreement with Aurora Innovation to utilize autonomous trucks to transport proppant around the clock, hauling sand on public roads and highways for the first time. It is not, however, the first appearance of autonomous trucks on Permian Basin highways. Aurora has been running its autonomous trucks between Dallas-Fort Worth and El Paso. A Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas report released this spring found New Mexico oil and natural gas production more than doubled from 2019 to 2024, from 900,000 barrels a day to 2 million barrels a day in 2024. The report also found production in Eddy and Lee counties, located in the New Mexico portion of the Permian Basin, accounted for almost 2 million barrels per day at the end of 2024. This article is entitled, County Marks Year of Change, with Tag Unit Hero Program, by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Midland County was busy this year, from the establishment of a dedicated medical examiner's office to a formal Texas anti-gang unit within the Permian Basin, the Permian Basin is growing. Here's a brief breakdown of all the changes that occurred this year within Midland County. Medical Examiner's Office. Midland County transitioned the handling of deaths from the Justice of the Peace to the Medical Examiner's Office. County officials stated that Midland County was paying more than $300,000 annually for outsourced services related to autopsies, toxicology, transportation, and other related fees. Since moving these services in-house, officials have said that Midland County is reducing costs while improving responsiveness and quality of care. While Midland County does have an established medical examiner's office, it does not conduct autopsies because there is no forensic pathologist on staff. This past year, the county's medical examiner's office handled 711 deaths, with about 110 deaths from October to December. Midland County Preservation. The Midland County Clerk's Office began a large-scale preservation project aimed at protecting, digitizing, and permanently archiving more than 30,000 historical records, some of which date back to the 1900s. Under the Texas State Library and Archives Commission retention schedule, these records must be preserved permanently by county governments. These documents include items such as chattel mortgages, bills of cost, and bond deputizations. HERO Program. In March, the Permian Strategic Partnership, Texas Department of Transportation, and Midland County launched a new free service whose purpose was to reduce secondary crashes. The program, called Highway Emergency Response Operator, HERO, serves the area of State Highway 191 and Interstate 20 within the Permian Basin. Permian Basin Texas Anti-Gang Unit, TAG. In September of this year, Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced funding for an initiative in Midland County that targets violent crimes. The Midland County Sheriff's Office was awarded about $2.5 million for the TAG unit within the Permian Basin. The TAG Center Permian Basin consists of personnel assigned from the Midland County Sheriff's Office, Ector County Sheriff's Office, Midland Police Department, Texas Department of Public Safety, Midland County District Attorney's Office, FBI, HSI, and the DEA/HIDTA. According to the Midland County Sheriff's Office, TAG Permian Basin has made 103 felony arrests and 52 misdemeanor arrests. The TAG unit also seized about 10.93 kilograms of cocaine, 4.57 kilograms of fentanyl, 48.15 kilograms of methamphetamine, 3.13 kilograms of marijuana, 1.42 kilograms of THC, 766.6 grams of psilocybin mushrooms, and 693.6 grams of oxycodone. Additionally, 71 firearms and $84,599 in U.S. currency were seized. Sergeant Michael Naylor Law Enforcement Complex. In October, the Midland County Sheriff's Office hosted a building dedication ceremony to honor the life and service of Sergeant Michael Naylor, who died in the line of duty on October 9, 2014. Speakers from around the region highlighted Naylor's 26-year military career, his role in establishing the mental health unit, and his dedication to the community. The new facility houses multiple agencies, including the Texas Anti-Gang Center and federal agencies such as the FBI. Therapy Dog. Paxton, a one-year-old golden doodle, joined the Midland County Drug Court team as its first ever therapy dog. He was brought in to provide comfort, calm, and encouragement to participants navigating the challenges of recovery. Every Tuesday during the court sessions, Paxton makes the trip to the county courthouse. The therapy dog is given the freedom to move freely around the room and approach participants while often settling near their feet. Many of our clients experience significant stress and anxiety when they come to court, said Judge Elizabeth Rainey. Paxton has an immediate calming effect. Judge David M. Kobos, Midland County Courthouse Annex. In February of this year, Judge David M. Kobos retired from a 46-year career in Midland County. In a ceremony honoring him, he said his chosen career path was never planned. Rather, the 1979 Hardin-Simmons University graduate studied music in college and expected to find a career in that field. During the November 18th session, Midland County Commissioners voted to rename the Midland County Courthouse Annex the Judge David M. Kobos Midland County Courthouse Annex. The 55,000-square-foot facility will house offices and courtrooms for Midland County's Justice of the Peace Judges, four constables, the Warrants Division, as well as the Medical Examiner. The annex is scheduled to open for business in September 2026. The building is across the street from one of the current JP courts and the county jail at 301 South Main Street. Text MyGov. During the summer, Midland County launched a text-based reporting system that aims to improve road conditions and foster communication with county residents. The program, called Text MyGov, allows residents to directly report road problems. The service allows the public to report issues such as potholes, damaged signs, debris, or road damage directly to county crews using a simple text message. To use the program, Midland County residents can text the word REPORT to 432-218-1333. To begin, residents are asked to use specific keywords such as pothole, sign, tree, or road damage to send in real-time alerts. The system will operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. County officials say this program will enable county staff to quickly locate and respond to road problems across Midland County's nearly 500 miles of maintained roads. All Rise National Mentor Court. At the beginning of the year, the Midland County Drug Court was selected as an All Rise National Mentor Court for 2025-27. A nonprofit organization, All Rise, formerly the National Association of Drug Court Professionals, works to connect people with treatment and recovery support for substance use and mental health disorders via programs designed to change the justice system. Judge Elizabeth Rainey sits at the helm of the Midland County Adult Felony Drug Court. She said addiction is a disease. However, the Midland County Drug Court aims to change the cycle of abuse. The Midland County Drug Court was established to address the needs of individuals charged with substance use-related crimes. It consists of three separate tracks: the Adult Felony Drug Court, DWI Court, and Transitional Treatment Court. This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Tuesday, December 30th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, "County Still Eyes Second Public Golf Course," by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Will there be a second golf course in Midland County? Here's what we know so far about the plans for the future golf course. In June, Midland County Commissioners selected an architectural firm to develop a golf course in southeastern Midland. The golf course is slated to be developed on the eastern side of the intersection of County Roads 1140 and 110. The public golf course would be L-shaped, expanding over vacant land that is approximately 234 acres in size. THK Associates, a Colorado-based golf consulting firm, was hired back in March to evaluate whether a new golf course would be a good fit for Midland County, and it was instrumental in the selection of an architectural firm. Ultimately, Midland County Commissioners selected Staples Golf Design out of five bids that made it to the final selection stage. Founded in 2002 and based in Scottsdale, Arizona, Staples Golf Design has built numerous golf courses around the world, including two at PGA National Resort, the Match and the Staple, in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Staples Golf Design was selected on several layers of criteria pertaining to account cost, quality of work, compatibility, and time frame for completion. As far as the cost of a new golf course, THK Associates told commissioners in August 2024 that an 18-hole golf course can range from $12 to $18 million, while a 27-hole golf course can cost up to $20 million. This cost can vary depending on the makeup of the native soils, the availability of materials, and the overall design specification, the report said. Irrigation will be the most expensive component, likely equating to between $4 to $5 million for 18 holes or $6 to $7 million for 27 holes. Plans for the golf course were put on hold in May when the Midland County Utility District bond failed. The bond would have provided the water and water infrastructure to the county needed to properly irrigate the course. No other developments regarding the public golf course have been presented during Commissioner's Court sessions, though Commissioner Jeff Summers recently told the Reporter-Telegram he is focused on bringing one to the community. This is the Dear Abby column. Friends' comments have fallen short of friendly. Dear Abby, I am a very overweight woman, but down 50 pounds from my top weight and continuing at a consistent but slow rate to lose. My A1C is now down to pre-diabetic, so I know my efforts are making a difference. I recently had a terrible bout of sciatica and pain in an arthritic knee, which kept me from some anticipated travel. A good, so I thought, friend who was affected by my cancellation suggested that perhaps my weight was causing the sciatica and arthritis, and if I lost more weight, things would go better. Duh. Lots of thin people suffer from sciatica and arthritis, and it felt to me that her comment was condescending, hurtful, and disrespectful. I don't know what I feel other than like throwing a canned ham at her. She has done this before. When another dear friend died, and I expressed my grief and teared up, this same friend suggested I would do better if I got out more and socialized. This was during COVID. Is there anything I can say to her? Should I ignore her comments and press on with the friendship? Or is it time to move on? I'd like to tell her off, but I see no value in countering her more subtle form with overt aggression. Is there a single good, deadly one-liner I could have used? Signed, Slow Loser in New York. Dear Slow Loser, as I see it, you have two ways to play this hand. The next time this woman says something grossly insensitive, tell her it's her third strike, and repeat what you have written to me about what comes out of her mouth. Or simply, do yourself a favor, and from now on ice her out. She may have been trying to help you in some weird way, or she's clueless. Dear Abby, my daughter and son-in-law have decided to move his mom from California to our home state of Tennessee. The kids have a lovely home about an hour from my husband and me. Both are professionals. They have been married 10 years and have no children. The mom, Anita, has an unmarried daughter with two kids living with her now and using her money. Anita wants to escape and be left alone. I'm afraid this could spell disaster for my daughter's marriage. Their plan is to remodel their attic so they have the upstairs and Anita has the downstairs. Should I express my concerns to my daughter or both of them, or keep my mouth shut? We have a great relationship, and I never insert my opinion into their business. Signed, Protector in the South. Dear Protector, if this is still in the planning stage and the project has not yet begun, mention your concerns to your daughter and son-in-law together. One problem that occurs to me might be if your son-in-law's sister plans to bring the kids and live with her mother in the future. However, once you have brought this up, do not insert yourself any further. Dear Abby is written by Abigail Van Buren, also known as Jean Phillips, and was founded by her mother, Pauline Phillips. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. This is the Life Tributes column. Johnny Randolph Deaver, February 25, 1950 to December 23, 2025. Johnny Randolph Deaver, 75, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, December 23rd. A viewing will be held from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday, December 30th at Nally Picklin Wells Funeral Home. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. Wednesday, December 31st at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Memorial services will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, January 9th at Crestview Baptist Church. Johnny Randolph Deaver was born February 25, 1950, in Wichita Falls, Texas, to Mary Ellen Lynn Deaver and Randy Julian Deaver. He was married to Barbara Batterton Deaver. They had two children, daughter Alicia Marie Deaver and son John Cole Deaver. He is survived by his wife Barbara Deaver of Midland, daughter Alicia Deaver of Odessa, and son Cole Deaver and spouse Jackie Deaver of Lake Dallas, Texas. Two sisters, Brenda Denard of Odessa and Robin Cook of Canyon Lake, as well as five grandsons and several nieces and nephews. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to West Texas ALS Association in Lubbock. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Tommy Lee Thompson, September 30th, 1951 to December 21st, 2025. Tommy Lee Thompson entered his heavenly home December 21st, 2025. Tommy was born in Sonora, Texas on September 30th, 1951 to J.L. Red and Pearl Thompson. Tommy was the oldest of Red and Pearl's four children and took his job of big brother to heart. The Thompsons moved to Midland in 1963, and Tommy resided here the rest of his life. In 1978, Tommy was set up on a blind date with Cindy. Tommy realized Cindy and her son Doug were two people he did not want to live without. Tommy and Cindy were married on October 11, 1980. From the very beginning, Tommy considered Doug his son. Tommy and Cindy welcomed their daughter Jessica in 1983. Tommy is survived by his wife Cindy, children Doug, Heather of Casper, Wyoming, and Jessica Jace Harkins of Sanderson, Texas, grandchildren Sutton Harkins, Cash Stewart, and Sydney Harkins, sisters Jeanette Pennington and Connie Scarborough, brother Hal Thompson, sister-in-law Dana Atwater, brothers-in-law Rocky Fraser, Amanda, and David Prater. He is having the most glorious reunion in heaven with those who preceded him in death. His parents, Red and Pearl Thompson, mother-in-law Ann Fraser, father-in-law Roy Fraser, brothers-in-law John Pennington and Bruce Fraser, and sister-in-law Sandra Prater. A visitation will be held on December 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Graveside services will be at Rest Haven Memorial Park on December 31st at 10 a.m. In lieu of flowers, please consider donating to Hospice of Midland, Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry, Alzheimer's Association, or a charity of your choice. Manuel Esquivel. Manuel Esquivel, 63, of Midland, passed away Monday, December 22nd. Funeral service will be Tuesday, December 30th, at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home in Midland. And family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Joseph Matthew Rodriguez, Sr. Joseph Matthew Rodriguez, Sr., 50, passed away December 18th in Odessa. The family will receive friends for visitation on Friday, January 2nd, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Funeral services will begin at 12 p.m. and will be immediately followed by a graveside committal at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. This article is entitled Midland 2025, City Recap and 2026 Preview, by Luke Diaz, staff writer. The end of 2025 is upon us, and the Reporter-Telegram is looking back at the year in Midland. Here are 11 highlights from city government, as well as what to look for going into the new year. Alcohol sales. Throughout the year, the city staff went through a series of alcohol permits, also known as Specific Use Designations, or SUDs, and audited them in order to determine which ones had expired. Several locations, such as Hot Shots, the Detour Bar, Double Bar Saloon, and Synergy Tall City, were asked to come to City Council to renew their permit. These cases have started to slow down, but will likely continue into next year. Zoo Midland and the Preserve. Ground finally broke on the highly anticipated Zoo Midland and Preserve. A privately funded venture, the area promises to be a new state-of-the-art facility, not only to see the animals, but also to engage in dining and shopping. Construction will continue through 2026, with an expected opening date in 2027. Massage parlors. In April, Midland City Council approved an ordinance placing regulations on massage parlors in an effort to curtail criminal activity such as money laundering, prostitution, and human trafficking. This has resulted in several cases of parlors being shut down throughout the year, including in May, June, July, and September. Animal Services Turnover. Midland Animal Services Director Melissa Griffin Hobson was fired by the city in April. She would later sue for wrongful termination, but ultimately lost her hearing case. Alexi Dauberstein was hired as her replacement, and she is expected to complete her first full year in 2026. AST Space Mobile. Satellite company AST Space Mobile led the way for increased growth at Midland International Air and Spaceport and the space industry in Midland. This included the first ever mobile video call through space, an expansion of facilities, and the shipping and launch of their Bluebird satellites, the latter of which is expected to ramp up in 2026. No Kings protests. As political tensions continue to rise across the country, the local Democratic Party mobilized twice as part of the No Kings Day protests, criticizing some of the decisions of the current Donald Trump administration. The first of these protests happened in June, while the second happened in October. Hogan Park renovations. Renovations to the city's sole public golf course, the courses at Hogan Park, began this year following a public session where the contractors provided their plan to the community and received subsequent feedback. Ground on phase one of the renovations broke in November, and this initial stage covering the Quail Golf Course is set for completion in late 2026. renovations overall are expected to be completed by late 2028. Delta Airlines. The direct flight route between Midland and Austin was terminated by Delta Airlines in November. Once seen by Midlanders as the ideal way to travel to Austin for vacation, the route's cancellation has ended Delta's presence at Midland International. Wildcatter Trail. Ground broke on the long-planned and highly anticipated Wildcatter Trail, a walking and biking trail set to one day connect Midland and Odessa together. The route will begin around the Scarborough Sports Complex and extend all the way to the University of Texas Permian Basin Odessa campus. Construction will continue through 2026. 2025 elections. The November 2025 election season came and went for Texas, and in Midland there were three different races for positions on local government. All three incumbents, Mayor Lori Blong, District 3 Councilman Jack Ladd, and District 4 City Councilwoman Amy Stretcher Burks, won their re-election bids. Burks ran unopposed, while Blong defeated challenger Judd Campbell, and Ladd defeated challengers Cheston Blank and Shandy Williams. The three will begin their new terms in January 2026. Synergy Tall City. The former Regal Theater in Midland was purchased and reopened by Synergy Entertainment, now going under the name Synergy Tall City. The new location features bowling and dining facilities alongside increased arcade, escape room, and theater areas to complement the other Synergy location in Midland. A go-kart track is expected to be added in 2026. This article is entitled New Year's Dining Hours for Midland Restaurants by B.K. Richter, staff writer. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day restaurant hours in Midland. Bubba's 33, 3315 West Loop 250 North, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Buffalo Wild Wings, 5107 West Wadley Avenue, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Chili's, 2100 Loop 250 Frontage Road, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Chewy's, 4609 Loop 250 Frontage Road, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Cracker Barrel, 3108 North Loop 250 West, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Denny's, 3701 West Wall Street, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, open 24 hours. Domino's, several locations, New Year's Eve, from 10 a.m. to 2 a.m., New Year's Day, closed. IHOP, 2507 Loop 250 Frontage Road and 301 East Interstate 20. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, open 24 hours. Olive Garden, 2705 West Loop 250 North, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Outback Steakhouse, 2314 West Loop 250 North, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Panda Express, 4505 Midland Drive and 6402 State Highway 191. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Texas Roadhouse, 4512 West Loop 250 North, New Year's Eve from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m., and New Year's Day, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Saltgrass Steakhouse, 4511 West Loop 250 North, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Szechuan House, 4501 West Wadley Avenue. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Volcano Sushi and Asian Fusion, 1401 North Loop 250. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Noodle House, 200 Andrews Highway, Suite 200. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Osaka Japanese Steakhouse, 1207 Tradewinds Boulevard, New Year's Eve, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., dinner, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., New Year's Day, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. This article is entitled New Year's Eve Events in Permian Basin by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Here is a roundup of New Year events within Midland for the 2025-26 calendar year. Want to recommend an event? Submit it to us at mrt.com/community submissions. Phillies Golf Club. Phillies Golf Club, located in the Estes Park Shopping Center, 6409 North Highway 349, Suite 1, will offer a New Year's Eve party where onlookers can watch the ball drop. Opened in November of this year, the locally owned indoor golf facility has 5 bays of golf simulators, offering tee times to members and the public. Celebrate the new year with drinks, friends, golf, and a planned countdown. Buffalo Nickel. The Buffalo Nickel, located at 216 North Main Street in Midland, will ring in the new year. The celebration will begin with a happy hour offered from 3 to 7 p.m. Live music with Alan Castellanos begins at 9 p.m. There will be drink specials, swag, giveaways, and an official countdown with a toast. The venue is open till 1 a.m., and additional parking is located behind the building. This is a 21 and older event. You must have valid identification. Around the World. The Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, located at 305 East 5th Street in Odessa, plans to host an unforgettable global feast to ring in the new year. Participants should prepare for a night filled with vibrant flavors, culinary excitement, as the hotel plans to showcase 6 of the world's most beloved cuisines with a buffet. Experience the tastes of Mexico, Italy, Thailand, the Caribbean, and beyond. Live music featuring Al Haney will also be offered. Reservations can be made via Open Table. Adult price is $125. New Year's Eve Dining. The restaurant Venezia plans to offer a New Year's Eve dining experience featuring a preset menu. There will be wine pairings, festive cocktails, and a cozy dining atmosphere. For menu details, please follow the restaurant's social media channels. The restaurant, located at 2101 West Wadley Avenue in Midland, plans to open at 5 p.m. The Flat. Ring in the new year with loud music, wild energy, and a midnight champagne toast. Cotton Flat Records, located at 1402 Cotton Flat Road in Midland, will offer a festive evening beginning at 6 p.m. Guests can expect performances by Hoppy T and the Hillbilly Rocker, Lye and Denny, and IBNH. There will also be karaoke and a dance with DJ DP. A happy hour will be offered from 6 to 8 p.m. Additionally, there will be complimentary champagne at midnight. Tickets cost $15 in advance and $20 at the door. Please see the venue's social media channels for discount tickets and more information. Little Woodrow's Midland. Little Woodrow's will ring in the new year with a flashback to a decade NYE party. Participants can dress up in their favorite decade's style and count the minutes until the ball drops. There will be a DJ and a midnight champagne toast. Additionally, on New Year's Day, a brunch and signature mocktails will be offered to begin dry January. Murder Mystery Dinner. Legacy Extreme plans to host a murder mystery dinner from 7 p.m. to midnight on Wednesday, December 31st at their location, 5606 Starboard Drive in Midland. The dinner will start with a cocktail hour with a drink card to their exclusive alcohol wall. Next, a four-course meal, hors d'oeuvres, salad, and a main course will be followed by dessert. Guests can enjoy a 1920s-themed gangster wedding as part of the murder mystery. This is an adult-only event, ages 21 and up. Prices are listed at $100 per person. Email info@legacyextreme.com for any questions or to buy tickets. Call 432-218-5870 for more details. This article is entitled Rock and Rodeo Receives Renewed Alcohol Permit Despite High Incident Report by Luke Diaz, staff writer. A nightclub on North Big Spring Street received approval for a new specific use designation. Rock and Rodeo can serve alcohol from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. on all days of the week. Rock and Rodeo was among the businesses reviewed by City of Midland staff in their audit of different SUD permits across the city. In addition to its SUD needing renewal, Rock and Rodeo was also found to be a business with a high incident report. Just because it is a club, it tends to be on the higher end of incident reports, similar to Club Remy, said Elizabeth Triggs, Midland's Planning and Development Officer. They are not proposing any changes to their business. This is exactly how they operate currently. They are just working to come back into compliance with our ordinance and ensure that they have an SUD in place. While there is no city-mandated security at Rock and Rodeo, according to City Attorney Nicholas Toulette Crump, the club is known to be frequented by Midland Police Department officers that provide an unofficial buffer of security. Despite this, Rock and Rodeo still ranks in the top 10 establishments for incident reports across Midland. This led the city to question whether or not to increase security in the area. If we're going to force something onto one bar because they're in the top 10, I don't see why we're not doing that with this bar, said Councilman Jack Ladd. If we're going to do it, we need to do it evenly across the board. I personally don't want to put the language for security restrictions in there. I just want to be consistent. Triggs said that the city opted not to impose security on Rock and Rodeo because, unlike the aforementioned one bar understood to be Hot Shots, Rock and Rodeo does not intend to change its general business plan, and there were no objections received on the SUD. City staff also believes that the incident report may be inflated because of MPD presence, as they tend to apprehend patrons who step out of line rather than escort them out like a security officer would. Hot Shots, which was mandated to have peace officers, will be getting a review to discuss the effectiveness of this strategy in January. Midland's Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the SUD request, with City Council officially approving it unanimously the following day. Although he made the motion to approve, Ladd hopes to come back to the Rock and Rodeo case once the results for Hot Shots are in.
This is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, December 24th, 2025. On nutrition, don't worry too much about extra holiday calories. The holidays will be different this year. We'll celebrate with one set of grandkids a week early, another on Christmas Day, and other family members after the 25th. Gifts will also be simpler this year as my shopping legs recover from my recent knee surgery. Some things are a necessity, however. We, as in my husband, did get the tree up, and I was able to hobble around to decorate it with a few choice ornaments. Knowing I need to prioritize my energy this year, I asked my daughter, who will be visiting from New Mexico, what she is most looking forward to over the holiday. Quote, "I just want to cook in the kitchen with you and ride the horses," end quote, she replied. "That makes me happy and relieved. It may sound corny, but we often cherish shared experiences much longer than what we unwrap from under the tree. My favorite memories and those of my children center around holidays with parents and grandparents. Each year at my folks' home in Albuquerque, my mom would perch her old roaster on top of the dryer in the utility room adjacent to the kitchen. She'd be the first one up Christmas morning to, quote, put the bird in, end quote, and continued to cluck over when it would be done until it was time to sit down for the meal. Traditions change. My rancher husband is not much of a poultry guy, even though he graciously eats it every Thanksgiving. Last time I made chicken soup, he commented, quote, "You know what would make this service and a drive around to look at lights? You know what would make this even better? Some beef," end quote. Other holiday traditions are etched into our lives forever. Christmas Eve has always been reserved for candlelight, church service, and a drive around town to look at lights. And when we arrive home, we celebrate with a cup of eggnog, an incredibly rich holiday beverage that must, in my opinion, be sprinkled with nutmeg, just because. With my holiday baking somewhat sidelined this year, I was thankful that the grandkids were just as delighted with the gingerbread house kits I got for them to decorate. I realized, too, that they have grown up and really enjoy baking on their own. This is a perfect year to open up the kitchen and watch them continue the Christmas cookie tradition. This year, I've had more time to think about what Christmas truly means. How simple yet profound was that first celebration in a cattle barn? Some brought extravagant gifts, others had nothing to give but themselves. My prayer is that this holiday brings you special joy. Embrace each moment, don't worry too much about the extra calories, celebrate what you do have and let go of what may not be perfect. Most of all, remember the promise of Christmas that will outlast everything else. Have a Merry Christmas. Mayo Clinic Q&A. Can Christmas stress trigger a heart attack? Dear Mayo Clinic, I've heard that all the stress of the holidays can lead to a heart attack. What's the link and what can I do to reduce my risk? Answer. It's easy to get caught up in the stress and chaos that accompany the holiday season. For some women, their busy lives become even more hectic, and the result can be overwhelming. Also, women often ignore the symptoms of heart disease. Heart disease is the number one killer for women and men. More women die of heart disease than of breast cancer. Taking care of your heart health involves avoiding risk factors or behaviors that contribute to heart disease, recognizing symptoms, and seeking treatment. Risk factors for heart disease. Traditional risk factors for coronary artery disease include high cholesterol, high blood pressure, smoking tobacco, and obesity. However, non-traditional risk factors such as stress, anxiety, and depression also affect heart health. People often underestimate the negative effects that psychosocial stress can have on the heart health. Psychosocial stressors are life situations that cause unusual or intense stress, such as divorce, family conflicts, death of a loved one, prolonged illness, or a natural catastrophe. Studies have shown that depression and psychosocial stress are associated with heart attacks. High stress levels also have been shown to negatively affect health recovery after a heart attack. It's important to address both traditional and non-traditional risks for heart disease and recognize that they affect men and women differently. How does stress lead to heart attacks? Psychosocial stress can be short-term or long-term, and both types have been associated with heart disease. Exactly how stress leads to a heart attack is still being studied. Emotional stress can lead to an increase in blood pressure or hypertension, which subsequently leads to heart disease and plaque buildup in the coronary arteries. Emotional stress also can lead to increased levels of stress hormones or cortisol. These hormones affect platelets and autonomic tone, which is how your body controls involuntary functions such as heart rate and blood pressure. All these factors play a role in the heart disease. Stress can also lead to unhealthy mechanisms for coping with stress, such as stress eating or substance abuse, and not exercising, which in turn can lead to heart disease. Short-term, extremely stressful situations can cause severe but usually temporary heart failure. This condition is called broken heart syndrome, also known as tachycardiomyopathy, apical ballooning syndrome, or stress cardiomyopathy. What are the risk factors for heart disease in women? Women of all ages should take heart disease seriously. Women under 65 and especially those with a family history of heart disease, need to pay close attention to heart disease risk factors. These include diabetes, mental stress and depression, smoking, inactivity, alcohol consumption, menopause due to low levels of estrogen and developing menopause before 40, pregnancy complications such as high blood pressure, diabetes, or even premature delivery, inflammatory diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis or lupus. What are heart disease symptoms in women? Women and men are equally likely to experience chest pain, pressure, discomfort. But women are more likely to have other associated symptoms including neck, jaw, shoulder, upper back, or abdominal discomfort, shortness of breath, pain in one or both arms, nausea or vomiting, sweating, lightheadedness or dizziness, unusual fatigue. If you experience chest pain with the symptoms mentioned above, call 911 right away. Managing holiday stress. For many women, the holiday season brings the most cherished moments in their lives, but it also can be among the most stressful times of the year. Often this is because people carry expectations influenced by memories and societal pressures. A smiling, happy family photo on holiday cards, the smell of grandma's home cooking at Hanukkah, seeing a Christmas tree lit, or singing your favorite Kwanzaa song. These sights, smells, and sounds of the season become measures of happiness and satisfaction. However, these visions don't always match reality, and that can lead to stress. At any time, but especially during the holidays, the key to coping is setting realistic expectations, taking a few moments as a family to write down what would make the holidays an enjoyable time with those you love, and let go of the things that add stress and no joy. Other lifestyle changes that can help curb stress during the holidays and throughout the year include: increase physical exercise, practice relaxation exercises, make a connection to your spirituality, seek professional help, eat a healthy diet, limit alcohol, stop smoking, monitor your heart health. Ask the pediatrician how to help a child with food or body concerns. Holidays can be exceptionally stressful for children, adolescents, parents, and families who have food or body concerns. Pediatricians are in a prime position to anticipate potentially stressful food-related situations and provide guidance and support to navigate holiday gatherings. Some children worry about what or how much to eat. Others dread a confrontation with that relative who always comments on your child's weight or engages in other fat-shaming behaviors. Pediatricians can help families anticipate these challenges and partner in problem-solving ahead of extended family time. Here are some common concerns and strategies that can help families prepare for holiday meals. Sometimes family members engage in discussions surrounding your child's appearance or size without realizing the impact it can have. Perhaps mom or dad can call the relative before the event and have a frank discussion on how, quote, weighty talk, end quote, can have an impact on health and well-being. They can suggest conversation starters to engage the young person in more positive dialogue around topics such as school or extracurricular activities and sports. Some examples, quote, tell me more about your recent play/activity or sporting event, end quote. Or, quote, what is one thing at school that you would fix and how, end quote. That question can spark lively discussion. To ask in a strength-based framework, the prompt would be, quote, what is one thing that your school does well? How can you help your school build on that, end quote. If the family uses humor as a survival strategy, you can help the young person and parent come up with a game so that every time the relative says XYZ, then the adolescent earns $1 or gets an extra hour of their favorite game or other tangible goal that the parent can agree to. Parents and kids can use hand gestures to keep score or other subtle measurement strategies. It could also be helpful to point out moments of kindness or caring or non-weight-related positive moments to place value and importance on those actions and behaviors. In addition, parents often recognize their own role in a weight-related talk, such as, quote, do I look fat in this? Or, quote, I ate so much at Aunt Betty's holiday part, end quote, or, quote, oh, this food is so unhealthy, I'm just going to eat a salad, end quote. Helping the parent eliminate their own weighty talk can be a big family win. Those with restrictive eating disorders may worry about what they can eat. These include individuals with anorexia nervosa, atypical anorexia nervosa, or avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, ARFID. ARFID is characterized by limited food intake and a narrow variety of foods eaten that isn't caused by a negative self-image or a desire to change body weight. Individuals with bulimia nervosa or binge eating patterns also may share concerns about what to eat. If binges are a risk, a teen and parent can partner and go through the buffet line and then switch plates with each other, so that the parent is keeping the child or adolescent's portions appropriate. Each person would agree to be, quote, nice, end quote, and not load the others with foods that the other actively dislikes. For instance, if the young person never eats mashed potatoes, or that is a fear food, this would be the wrong venue to challenge them with mashed potatoes. For youth who purge, make sure they go to the bathroom before the meal and not for an hour after to help break the cycle of vomiting. Perhaps that means planning family games for an hour after meals. For youth with avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, the parent can help get the safer foods on the plate in the right proportions. Planning a reward system for meal success can also make a difference. Parents can also anticipate which meals and settings are truly challenging for their child and bring a substitute safe meal for the child to consume while at a holiday feast. Another scenario might be an adolescent who tries to avoid eating all day to just get through the one holiday meal or, quote, holding out, end quote. Parents, caregivers, and pediatricians can help their teen plan ahead so that they eat an adequate breakfast, lunch, snacks, and meals before the family celebration begins. In this case, a family develops a contingency plan on what to do if the teen does not consume enough food during the family party. When a child does not want to attend a family get-together, probe gently to elicit the reasons why and problem-solve to create viable solutions. Is the young person bullied by cousins, molested by a relative, or otherwise traumatized? Are they averse to the food served? For some with obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD, they may be distressed by the prospect of germs or how foods are prepared. Parents can plan in advance to leave the party early, recognizing and responding to a young person's stress level in the moment. In this way, they plan that part of a health journey together without inciting extra drama or shame or guilt. Parents and youth can create a safe word to enact the, quote, get me out of here, end quote, response. Bringing a meal from home with, quote, safe, end quote, utensils for the child who is particularly germ-phobic is another option. Exposure therapy at restaurants or family events can also be used with guidance from a therapist skilled in ARFID to get over food fears that may escalate in holiday situations. Pediatricians and dietitians can partner with patients and families to address food myths and fears, anticipate what foods or situations are challenging, and see if the parent or caregiver can help address that stress and increase tolerance of a fear or challenge situation. They can also help the young person find the positives by complimenting them for non-food-related reasons, such as an act of kindness to a younger sibling. A strength-based approach builds self-esteem and skills, aiming for the positives rather than merely avoiding the negatives.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.